Hi, Carm here, and welcome to episode 402. Sarah Fraser is here, and she's going to bring some important insights into our Generation Z. Now, these are the kids born in the mid-1990s to the mid-2000s, and they are sometimes called the I Generation. Now, here's a taste.
Gen Z has sort of been nicknamed as the baby boomer because they tend to share a little bit more in common with baby boomers than they do with the millennials.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, and welcome. My guest, Sarah Fraser, is a millennial who's about to help us understand the next generation. Yep, Generation Z. Sarah Fraser of Haas Performance Consulting is sharing her research on Gen Z, who, by the way, prefers face-to-face interaction. Now, that's interesting. As this generation soon becomes our employees and customers, it is good to know that they will have tendencies to be a role hopper within the same company instead of a job hopper, as is a trait of the millennial. Hey, have you written down Apex on your calendar yet? Well, I find that even in this technology-driven world, nothing beats the face-to-face meetings I've had at Apex. Now, when you shake a hand and look them in the eye, that brings a powerful bond that helps only when you are face-to-face. Hey, plan now to attend Apex November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. For information, visit aapexshow.com. Hey, two things you must partake in on my website, the AMI page, where you can listen to Town Hall Academy podcasts and earn elective AMI credits toward your AAM or AMAM certification. And don't miss the books page. Leaders are readers, you know, and all books mentioned on the podcast are there for you. Now, listen to Sarah Fraser from Haas Performance Consulting. Sarah will give us the skinny on our Generation Z. One of the most interesting characteristics is they have tendencies like baby boomers. Here's a generation that literally grew up with technology as a given, totally part of their lives. Sarah says they are independent and want a work-life blend. She will tell you how they like to be marketed to and that you'll need to be authentic if you want them to work for you or become a customer. Find this episode's talking points in Sarah's bio at remarkableresults.biz/E402. Now, get ready to listen to learn just one thing and best understand Generation Z. Hey, a warm welcome to Sarah Fraser from Haas Performance Consulting. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Carm.
I know your dad, Bill.
Yes, you do. Everybody knows my dad.
Everybody knows your dad. You're absolutely right. Well, hey, I'm glad you're here. I know you did some great research, and you've got a great presentation on Generation Z.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, Carm, why am I listening to a podcast episode on Generation Z? And they're just teenagers. Why should I care?
Well, they're actually a little bit older than that. The oldest one right now is about 23, 24. So they're already our customers. They're already our employees. So they're a little bit older than teenagers, but a good chunk of them are still teenagers.
Good chunk of them still are. Yeah. Is that date range? When were they born?
Like 1990 to 95.
And is it true that as they grew up, they knew nothing but iPhones and internet, right?
Pretty much. Yep. And so that definitely, I think, has a lot to do with the way that they think and the way that they act is just the amount of technology that's always been available to them.
Imagine going to kindergarten with tablets.
No, I didn't even, I mean, as a millennial, people think of us that way too, but in high school, we didn't have Facebook because at that point in time, it was still just for people who were in college. So social media really didn't, I'm 33, so I don't know when, I was probably 19 when I first got a Facebook.
As Gen Z was growing up, as far as I recall, and I think you may have a timeline to talk to us about, that's when Facebook was just coming on board. So it started to mature a little bit as they got into, ooh, what do I do with this Facebook thing, right?
Right. Yep. And so they've always had social media. And I think they pick 95 as kind of the starting year for Generation Z because that's when the internet was commercialized. And so that was a big thing that changed our world that kind of defines that generation.
You know, here I'm a boomer, you're a millennial, and to realize that the internet is still a cool toy for me. For you, it's a necessary evil. And for Gen Z, it's a requirement.
Absolutely. Yep.
Amazing how that works. So, of course, in our real world today, we've got a combination of baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, you, Gen Y, and now Gen Z. And I heard that in 2 or 3 years, the Gen Z and millennial Gen Y are going to make up more of the population.
Yep. Generation Z is already 25% of the population. So that is, and we're kind of seeing now too, that there used to be like a pyramid when you would look at populations, and now there's less than, I think, 1% difference in 5-year age ranges. So it's more of like a column now when you look at the population as far as X and Y and Z.
Got it. Yeah. So the reason we're talking about this is because the job seekers and many of the people that are going to start staffing our companies, you know, everyone has a place to start and to groom and grow. We're going to have to ask ourselves, well, how do we onboard? How do we lead and manage? How do we get along with Gen Z? And you've done a great amount of research, Sarah. I appreciate what you've done here. You've sent me, and let's share some of this with the audience, the difference between Gen Z and the millennials. And I think there's some fascinating contrast.
There really is. And actually, it's interesting because Gen Z has sort of been nicknamed as the baby boomer because they tend to share a little bit more in common with baby boomers than they do with the millennials. And so for me, when I was starting to research and learn about them, I thought they were going to be a lot like me. Come to find out they're not. So it's pretty interesting. I think one of the big key differences is that, you know, that they were born into technology and the millennial had to learn and adjust. The millennial remembers having dial-up internet and having to share a phone line to get on the internet and that kind of thing, where Generation Z, it's always been there. So that's kind of an interesting thing about them. Another thing with Gen Z that is pretty similar with the baby boomer is they have that do-it-yourself mindset. They're very independent. If I want it done right, I'm going to do it myself. They like an individual workspace, where the millennial really enjoys to work as a team, likes input from other people, likes to be in a collaborative workspace. One of the most surprising things that I learned about Generation Z is that they, with all the technology that they have, they really prefer face-to-face interaction. They prefer to sit down one-on-one with somebody face-to-face, where the millennial would like to have a text message or an email conversation versus being face-to-face with somebody.
That's going to be a huge jump as Gen Z starts working for the millennial. And, you know, the point is that the millennial is going to have to understand that it is not this unpersonal way to communicate. They're going to have to realize, I have to have a meeting.
Yep. I have to show up face to face. I can't just be in my pajamas and, you know, on my email. Yep. It is going to be different. And I think it's good though. I maybe a not so millennial characteristic to myself is I prefer face to face too, but most of us don't. Most of us would prefer internet, email communication. Another big difference would be that Generation Z is going to research before they make purchases, as does the millennial, but the millennial more researches for a discount or a coupon, and Generation Z is going to research about the company and what kind of values they have and what their reviews are. And so that's going to be a big difference is, you know, if you say you do something and you don't do what you say you do as a company, they're going to find out because they're going to look at your reviews and they're going to see what other people are saying about you. And that's huge. So I think that definitely in the automotive industry, if you don't have people on your Google, on, you know, wherever you have reviews on your Facebook saying good things about you, you definitely need to start asking for that now, because that's going to be where they go to look to decide who they're going to give their business to.
Great point. You know, another one of the points that you brought up was the difference between being a role hopper and a job hopper. And I find that fascinating.
Yeah, I do too, because I've definitely been a job hopper. I've had probably 10, 15 jobs over the past 10 to 15 years. And I think that Generation Z is really going to prefer to stay within the same company and just move roles or move up the ladder. But a lot of them really want to start their own companies. Is most of them that people talk to in high school right now are saying, yeah, I want to own my own business.
Hey, thanks for that great analysis, Sarah. Let's talk about some characteristics of Gen Z. I see that they're eager. And when you say they're eager, are you saying that they just want to jump in and get things done?
Yes, they're early starters. And I think a big part of that is seeing the millennial go through 4 years of college and end up with all this student debt and all these loans and not getting jobs in the fields that they went to school for. Generation Z is more eager to jump right into the workforce, into the field that they want to be in, versus going to school for 4 to 6 years.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that we may find more Gen Zs not going to college?
I think so. Or maybe doing technical college or online courses, things that are more convenient to them versus going to the 4-year school, unless they know that they're going to end up in their field.
You know, frankly, that's music to the ears of the automotive aftermarket, knowing that we have a skill trades shortage and that maybe people say, hey, maybe Gen Z says, I want to work with my hands. And that, like you say, they may go to skilled school and come out and jump in with not as much debt. If that's a characteristic of theirs, I wonder how they get that ingrained in them, you know, because parents want their kids to become lawyers and doctors and work for Google and Microsoft, right?
Absolutely. I think they just, you know, they're very smart about what they want to do, and they're very cautious with their money, and they're already financially planning. And I think, you know, that all goes into being eager. And with the eager piece also is they're eager to make big changes. They want to do big things in regards to the planet and doing things that are sustainable. And we're starting to see those changes happen already with like plastic straws starting to go away and those kind of things. So they're just, they're very optimistic and eager generation to do good.
But they're looking for flexible hours.
Yep. They definitely want something that fits into their lifestyle. And we've kind of seen in the millennial, we talk a lot about wanting this work-life balance. With Generation Z, it's more of a work-life blend. And so a lot of the jobs that they want to do, they can do from their phones or from with technology, that they could do it from wherever, work from wherever, and have more of that blend and that flexibility on their own time.
So they want to work remotely. You know, I find so fascinating, there are some companies way against telecommuting or remote work. And are they going to be forced into making this happen?
I'm not sure. It's possible. I think we're going to see a lot more of it. I mean, there's obviously fields that that's not going to be an option in, but in places where it is something that could be possible to work from home, I think you will see a lot more of that.
Hey, Carm here. You know the number one reason shop owners attend Apex is to see the very latest new products and technologies? And in my opinion, a close second is the opportunity to meet face-to-face with your peers to discuss issues and find new opportunities. And let's not forget how much fun it is to get together with friends in the industry, both old and new. You know, Apex is the one place to see all the people, products, services, and technology that affect your business and your profits. Plus, you'll get to participate in the best industry training while you're there. You know, in terms of value, you'll take so much more home with you than the cost of your trip to Apex. Now, mark your calendar now to attend Apex 2019. It's November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit aapexshow.com. Hope to see you there. So you say they're going to be socially responsible. They're going to care more about our planet. What does that specifically mean? Are they going to go out for causes? Are they going to be people, you know, are we going to assemble, you know, mobs to talk about stuff? I mean, you know, like in the old days of the 60s, were peace and love and against war?
I'm not sure. I think it's going to be exciting to see what they do end up doing. But as far as like big changes that I think we're already seeing is just how connected they are globally. Because they're so connected to people all over the world due to social media, due to the internet, that when things happen across the country or in other countries, it impacts them immediately. They hear the news about it right away and they feel compelled to do something, to donate, to send something, you know, when hurricanes happened, to go down and to help. We're already seeing a lot of volunteers in Generation Z. I think I read the other day it was 26% of kids between the ages of 16 and 19 are already volunteering, which is awesome. So I think we're going to just see more of that getting involved and doing what they can. And I think a big part of that is just that connection that when things are happening.
And that's this whole socially involved piece that you're saying about it. If the statistic is it's strong, 26% are already volunteering, I guess when I'm looking to sell to Gen Z, and if I've got this great community culture involved in my business and a young person walks in and I can say, hey, do you know we do something with the Toys for Tots or for the, you know, the battered woman organization or for the church? That's something that the Gen Z will relate to.
Absolutely. And I think even, selling to them. You know, this is something that a lot of companies already do. They already donate to certain organizations, but I don't know that they make that very well known, because it's just always been, well, that's what we do. We give to this organization. But I think if you're doing that, you need to put it out there on your social media and let people know, like, we believe in this, we donate to this, because as a consumer, that's going to mean a lot to Gen Z, and that might go further than some big money advertising and marketing would.
Got it. Great word of mouth. Be honest and transparent with all the things that you're doing inside your community, inside your business. I guess if I'm going to market to them, I've got to be where they're going to be. And will that be social media?
Absolutely. Yep. They are on their phones all the time. 80% of them are looking at their phones before they even get out of bed in the morning. So that's, they're on YouTube, they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, they're on, all of the different platforms. And so if you're not, Instagram is huge. If you're not on Instagram, you're already behind. Like, that's kind of not taken over Facebook. Facebook is still really great, but Instagram has become more the younger, what they go to more, I guess.
Sarah, I'm curious. I have been curious for a long time about social media being a black hole in people's time suck, if you will. And but it seems like, as you're saying, both millennials and now Gen Z, they've assimilated it into their life. It is not a black hole. It is part and parcel to how they do business in our world.
Very much. Yep. I mean, they're online shopping, they're making appointments online, they're all of that stuff. They're doing their research. You know, before I go to make a purchase at a company, I'm going to look at their Facebook. I'm going to see what their customers are saying, what kind of things they're doing for the community, all of that stuff.
So we have to be there or be square, right?
Pretty much. Yes. If you're not on Instagram, you're behind. If you're not on Facebook, you're really, really behind.
You're way behind.
Yeah.
And whatever I do on social, I've probably got to be as transparent as possible. I mean, I got to put my goods straight up and in alignment with everything that I stand for.
100%. Yep. You have to have something that you stand for and stay true to your mission statement and have it cohesive across all of your different social media platforms. You definitely need to earn their trust. And the way you do that is you do what you say you're going to do. So whatever your statement is about your company, if you say, we treat you like family, they need to be able to go on and read your reviews and see that people are responding to that. And yes, I came in and I was treated, great. And these people took care of me and they went out of their way. And that's the kind of thing that they're going to be looking for, is that truth and that transparency. And even like the be transparent goes a little bit into advertising too. You don't really need these overdone, high quality advertisements. They'd prefer more of something realistic, your actual photos of your shop, what they're actually going to see when they come and visit you, what the waiting room looks like, that kind of stuff. They want to see all of that before they get there. So that's be transparent.
That's a great point about transparency. I mean, we've talked about that. I think it matters for any customer today, any generation, if you show a picture that isn't indicative of actually what you do and what you look like, inside of someone's mind, it says, I thought I knew what I was coming into, but it looks different. So authentic, I think, is what you're saying too.
Yes, very. Don't hide things from them. Tell them the truth. And these are going to be smart customers. Before they come to your shop, they've probably already done their research on whatever their problem is. So they're already coming in thinking they know something about what's going on. And so that's something that I think is going to be different too. Because for me, if something goes wrong on my car, I just bring it in and say, I don't know, something's wrong with it. But I feel like this generation that's always had all this information available to them, that's what, when something goes wrong, they go and they research and try to figure out what it is.
I think what you're saying is, I may give up on researching an answer, and maybe because I wasn't as, I wasn't born with an iPhone in my hand, and they won't give up, and they will find they will tough through to find the answer. But at the same time, search engines are getting so much smarter today, and they know how to navigate it. And so there, I guess it would be the greatest thing in the world for me is to go find a Gen Z and say, get me this information. And in 20 seconds, where it would have taken me 3 minutes.
Right. pretty much everything you need to know is on YouTube. You can find a video for how to do pretty much anything. So that's, I think it's going to be, you know, just we're going to have to learn how to talk to this customer that's coming in possibly a little bit more educated, even though they may not know exactly the right answer. And I think sometimes we can get defensive when somebody thinks, well, they know exactly what they're talking about. And it's going to be kind of that learning curve to respect them and educate them while they educate you at the same time.
They're fast and smart. They're multitaskers.
They do. Yeah, they're great multitaskers. They will be watching TV, on their phone, having a conversation with somebody, doing homework at the same time, and it'll all be functioning and working. And so that's, we've talked a lot about like phones in the workplace. And I think that's something we're just going to have to start to be okay with, because just because they have their phone on them does not mean they're not working. And that's just, that's their life.
I love your point. I think the phone becomes another work tool as much as you think it could be a distraction. It's not.
It's not. And they can pull up information on there instantly. So that's, it could be very helpful.
Wow. Okay. Gen Z was born into tech. We've got that clearly stated. And here's the piece I love. I just love so much. Like the baby, they're baby boomers in your mind. They're hardworking.
Very. Yes.
And it's not like any of the other generations weren't as hardworking, but that seems to be creaming and bubbling up to the top. They're going to be truthful in everything that they do, so they want you to be truthful with them. Talk about being connected from every possible 5G tower someday as we have new technology coming out and Wi-Fi everywhere. They are going to be more connected than ever before, probably connected in ways with their watches and who knows, body armor someday. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's great because I think there's this almost bad stigma about Generation Z that they walk around glued to their iPhones and they don't talk to each other and they're, you know, sitting in front of their computers playing video games and that they don't communicate and that they're, you know, they're not going to know how to have actual conversations. But I think really it's the flip side. They are communicating a lot more than other generations. They're just doing it through technology. So when they're sitting down playing video games, they're talking to people that are playing that game all over the world or, you know, in their community or whatever the case may be. And they, you know, like you go out to dinner and you'll see a bunch of teenagers at a table and they're all looking at their phones and you're like, what are they doing? Texting each other? You know, every person likes to make that joke. And it's the chances are that they're talking to somebody else and they're still carrying a conversation with the people they're there with because they're multitasking and they're just that connected to that many different things going on at the same time.
And if we want them to be our customer, we're going to have to meet them in social, and we're going to have to be socially responsible. Wow. Well, thanks for doing all this research. This was great, and I think this is a great eye-opener for all of us, especially when we are going to start hiring. This new generation of young people, I love to use the word kids in all respect to anyone who's younger than me. But yeah, all of our young people that are coming up. Wow. Any summaries, Sarah, that you'd love to share? Any wise words on Gen Z?
You know, I think it's just important to keep in mind that they're smart. They want the truth. They want, you know, to be socially responsible. They want to give their money to companies that are doing good and that stand for something. They're hardworking and they, you know, we didn't really touch on this, but they are incredibly diverse and they really appreciate equality and diversity. And that's a big part of their world. And I'm really excited to see what happens over the next 5 to 10 years with this generation. I mean, we've seen some things so far, but we also have to keep in mind that they're still young and they're going to change quite a bit. And so I'm excited to see what they bring, you know, into the workforce.
You've outlined some incredible qualities and characteristics. And as you pointed out, you'd love to see what's going to happen over the next 5 or 10 years as they grow into these characteristics that they've been slowly defined as having. And if it all works out, I think we're going to be able to relate to them, especially the boomers, because I think we're going to see a mini me in them. That's refreshing. It really is a refreshing perspective. Not that any other generation is, but I love how each generation ends up having their own traits and qualities. And sooner or later, you know, they always say things repeat themselves. To be able to look at a Gen Z and see a baby boomer all about tech.
Yep. And I think that's what you're going to start to see.
Cool. Sarah Frazier, Haas Performance Consulting. Thanks for your insight. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.